we normally would talk about with kingdoms, this word. When we talk of God's kingdom, it doesn't talk about borders or armies or even castles. Rather, it denotes the idea of more of a verb, to reign. Like a king reigns over an area, over a people. So it would be better translated, not the kingdom of God or for his kingdom to come, but for the active rule and the active reign of God to come. We're praying for God to do something, to perform a verb, to perform an action. And I think this better captures this dynamic nature of the verb and of this prayer. We are praying here. When we pray, thy kingdom come, not for God to establish some kind of earthly political government, right? Or that he should take care of our American government, right? Take care of those Democrats. Take care of those Republicans. They need help. Take care of this political landscape that's all messed up in our country. We're sick of the election coverage. We're not praying that. Rather, instead, we're praying for us as Christians to be drawn into his right and active reign, his power. And it's easy to mess that up. When Jesus began his ministry, he came proclaiming that his reign was inaugurated at his arrival. He says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. You see, his presence is what establishes his reign. We just sang about it, if you turn and remember back at the beginning. God himself is present. When we're praying for God's kingdom to come, we're literally praying, be present, God. Not just for me in this place, but for in this place that I dwell. His presence is what establishes his reign. Now, this sort of preaching, if you can imagine this, gets people pretty riled up, especially after he started healing people and making all these mean religious folks in his country look bad, the Pharisees. It sounded to many as if Jesus was starting some sort of rebellion, some revolution even. It was a Jesus uprising, they thought. Soon he would lead his disciples as they stormed Jerusalem, storming the castle, knocking off King Herod, taking down Rome, and then God's kingdom would be established here on earth. Peter would fight beside Jesus to the death like a soldier, if necessary. James and John would be comfortably seated at his right and his left. And this kingdom would exert its power from sea to shining sea. And then Jesus died. On purpose. He didn't fight back. He didn't lead a revolt. In fact, he lost all his votes in the primaries of Jerusalem's party as he was led away to the cross. And it was in this way, this very, very strange way that Jesus establishes his reign. Not on a throne, but from a cross with criminals on his right and on his left. His head was adorned, not with a crown of gold or silver, but with thorns and his holy, precious blood. Bleeding and dying, surrounded by the most despicable people. What kind of kingdom is Jesus establishing here? What sort of king is this that's reigning? And if this is how God establishes his reign, ought I not be a little nervous to ask to be a part of it? Well, yes, you should be nervous to be part of God's kingdom. Maybe perhaps exhilarated is a better word. Just look at the sort of king you have reigning. He's the king who went to that cross for you. His death was not the result of some failed experiment or failed revolution. Rather, it was his goal. He did it on purpose. You see, Jesus is most God. His highest point of glory is on the cross, where the world would seem to say the opposite. For it is on that cross that he did something that no king in our world would ever do. He sacrificed his life to save his enemies. And that's when you look around at the rest of the world, all these other world religions, these false ideas, you will never encounter a world religion that has their God willingly die for the people that don't even want him. He paid the penalty for sins that were committed against him. He died to take the punishment deserved by those who put him on the cross. He set aside all power that he had over heaven and earth in order to take the form of a servant. And he obeyed his Father's will to the point of death. And even the most wicked kind of death the world has ever experienced for those he loved. God raised him up, so pleased by this sacrifice that he gives him all authority over heaven and earth, that every knee should bow and tongue confess that he is Lord. He is King to the Father's glory. And all this he's done for you in order to bring you under his reign, not of terror, not of fear, but his reign of mercy and grace. And his kingdom comes to you when he's near. When his reign comes to you, he brings forgiveness. And guess what? You are already in this kingdom. You already have Jesus' forgiveness. You already are in the presence of God. His reign, his kingdom hits our ears and is established in our hearts. Now, we are really asking for two things here, for the present and the future, when we pray, thy kingdom come. We're asking first that God's reign would be over us here in time, and then there in eternity. So, how is God's reign here with us now? He's present with us now by the means of his preaching. You're hearing God's word faithfully delivered to you from this pulpit, from this church, whenever someone reads from his word. From this sacrament that each of you will partake in tonight, where you will be connected with not only everybody seated here, but you'll be connected with every other Lutheran church in this country, every other Christian church in this world. When you kneel at this altar and with begging hands receive what he has to give, you receive his kingdom. And he is with his church until the end of the age when we go out baptizing our children and teaching them, proclaiming forgiveness of sins in his name and serving his body and blood. And there his reign hits our ears and is established in our hearts. And then again, it still even will come to us more fully and when he comes again to establish his reign, not to set up an earthly kingdom, but to bring a new heavens and a new earth where we'll be reunited with all Christians of all time, where by faith will become sight and prayer instead will become praise, because all the things we pray for will be right there in front of us. We are praying here that in these ways Jesus would reign over us. We're praying that he would give us preachers to place his word in our ears and hearts, and he has done so. We are praying that he will do this until he returns, and at that return, he will take us even closer to him. So we pray, thy kingdom come. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We often pray in mealtime. And he does. What wonder and what joy we pray, because Jesus reigns and he answers our prayer. But the prayer's not done, right? Thy kingdom come. Then we have the audacity to say the next line. How's it go? Anybody? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. This is the worst prayer to pray. When we pray, thy will be done, we're handing over all the control that we have, all the authority that we would have, that our own life that we think we have. We acknowledge that we are nothing. Thy will be done, Lord, not me, not you, not them. Is there anything more troubling than this? We just got done praying that for his kingdom, his reign to happen, but then we give up all the authority that we have. To pray God's will be done is an act of self-emptying. It is a potential rejection of all of our self-interests and self-determination. For God's will is God's. And who of you know the mind of God? I've studied. I tried. I don't. And if I don't know what God will do, that's kind of scary. To pray, to ask, to desire God's will over our own, it's unthinkable. You see, that's the point. We don't have to think. We don't have to worry. We don't have to plan. We let God do that. When we pray, thy will be done, we are praying a cosmic, grand, and mighty, mighty prayer. Lord, take the pain away. Align me and the world to the right place. Bring balance to the scales of injustice. Set right the wrongs in creation. Give hope. Provide life. Defeat death and the devil. For it is all too much for me. And while you're at it, show me your goodness. Who would have thunk so much is packed in a few words? So when we pray, we take advantage of the opportunity God has given us to realign ourselves. Do a gut check on your place in the cosmic reality of God's kingdom. Realign ourselves to the one who is making all things new, even as we speak. And he is doing that just for you today. And he'll do so tomorrow. And he'll do so the next week and the next year until he comes again. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Let your kingdom come, because I trust in your will. So let it be done. Amen.